Well, 感谢大家今天哈，还是来听经哈。我呀，这个啊，我们呢，过去这个礼拜做了很多事情，过去这2个礼拜做了很多事情哈。先呢，来一个都市的末造期，然后接着是跟台湾水路网路公修，我们拜了一部梁皇宝忏，然后还有什么？三大四愿口，五大四愿口，还有幽冥界哈，所以我声音都哑了哈。
I'm very thankful that you are still able to make it today. We have had a very busy past 2 weeks. First, having a inner city chant retreat on silent illumination, and then followed by a whole week in corresponding with the ceremonies that's being conducted in Taipei of the earth. Water and earth, land ceremony, and a series of repentance ceremonies, as well as transmitting precepts to the spiritual realm. So there were a lot of rituals, and my voice has indeed become hoarse as a consequence.
那也。在这个中间呢，也发生了一件事情哈，就是我还没有来得及拜见的孟参老和尚圆寂了哈。我觉得修地藏法门的这个弘扬地藏法门的一当代高僧哈，对我来讲就觉得说，诶，既然自己有缘修持这个法门，持这些经。总是想要去见一下哈，结果还是来不及哈，没有这个福报。
During this period of time, another event took place where the great master Meng Chan, who wrote a lot of commentaries for the series of sutras relating to the Earth Store Bodhisattva, he had passed away during this period. And while I'm a practitioner who focuses on this method, I had always hoped that I would have a chance to meet him in person. But unfortunately, I guess my merit and blessing is not sufficient, and I wasn't able to fulfill this wish before he left us.
然后，在国内的不是我的啦，是翻译。就是在中国国内哈，有一些信众知道我，就是在讲地藏法门，所以他们就赶快传一些讯息给我哈，包括一些所谓的瑞相，当然后来有在传说是不是真的哈。那我当下看到那个所谓的瑞相的时候呢，其实我内心是没有什么感触了哈，因为不管有没有瑞相，对我来讲不会改变我对蒙参老和尚的一个尊敬哈。
And because of this, what had happened, some of the volunteers and practitioners in China, where Meng Chan, Great Master Meng Chan resided, they knew that I had been focusing on discussing and giving teachings of Earth Store Bodhisattva's series of sutras. So, knowing that, they sent me some information relating to his passing away, as well as some photos of the so-called auspicious signs. And later on, there were noises saying that some of the photos were not genuine. But that, to me, that's beside the point. Whether there's any auspicious signs or phenomenon or whatnot, it's not going to change a bit of how much I respect Great Master Meng Chan.
但是在这个过程当中，哈，在分享的 过程当中呢，有两种反应哈。一种反应是好感动哦，果然是一代高僧，连天上的云都有他的像出现哈。然后没有，这个是就是船的照片哈。然后就是大家希望借由一个表象哈，来告诉大众说孟山老和尚的修行有多高哈。那大家就法喜充满，只有一部分的人。那另外一个部分的人接到这个讯息的反应是说，我们不可以着相，师父说就什么我们不这个什么天什么祥云啊，反正以前我们法鼓山办法会也有一些瑞相都被师父喝止不准传，什么天上的云啊，还什么船啊，什么通通被喝止，连师父都说他的舍利子全部不可以见，一切归于无嘛，这跟我们禅宗的精神是比较符合的。所以有一部分人他就会说，法师我们老师父这样讲不可以，这个都是怎样怎样的，两边。但是因为我们先要讲这个赞茶三恶业报经，接下来要讲什么空假中三观的时候呢，其实是不落两边。你不可以，就是说我们不要对于一切世间的现象不管哪个，不要去觉得这边是好的然后这边是不好的，或是这边是好的这边是不好的，就是要用一个很平常的心，然后真正去看到真正的那个本质是什么。也就是赞茶三恶业报经一直在教我们的，所有的赞茶所有的三恶要依一时境界为主，而不要被假象或是空相来这个抓住。
So in this process of all these information and photos being passing back and forth, the reaction to it tend to be divided into two categories. One subset of practitioners were extremely touched by the photos, seeing the auspicious clouds where Master Meng Chan's appearance seemed to manifest in the clouds. And they felt that there's a need to going through these kind of phenomena, these appearances, it will help other followers generate more confidence and faith in their practice. The second category of practitioners, they said, wait a second, we shouldn't be attached to any forms or any phenomenons. Isn't that what Shifu has taught us? In the past, indeed, even at Dharma Drum Mountain, where whenever there were rituals, significant rituals or ceremonies being conducted, sometimes there are some signs of auspicious clouds or boats or whatnot. But Shifu had always stopped us short, told us not to make anything of it. And indeed, even with his old shiraris, his remnant of his ashes, he forbid us to keep any of the ashes or whatever that came out of the cremation. So that was his approach in dealing with these so-called auspicious signs. But it's very especially important for us to talk about this at this time because the focus of our discussion today is on the sutra, on this sutra. And this sutra has specifically explained about emptiness and provisional existence as well as the middle way. And it's important for us to remember not to dwell on either side, not to think this is good and that is bad and make such discrimination. We should regard all phenomena with equanimity and treat them as all universal and equal. What we are really striving for is to see the true essence within phenomenon. And all the phenomena and our understanding should correspond with the one true reality that has been taught over and over again in this sutra. And we should avoid dwelling on the phenomenon of provisional existence or in emptiness.
那说空说有哈，都是佛陀还有祖师大德运用的方便法来破除不同根基的众生的我执。好，那只有就是只着相的人就说空，着坑的人就说妙有。好，那都要把我们抓到什么？中道，那中道也不是在中间呢，就说不是在中间，而是不止两边。那我们今天会就借由两种观行来说明怎么练习空假中三观。
So whether is the discussion is about emptiness or about provisional existence, you have to keep in mind that these are all expedient teaching.Trying to help us break away from our current attachment. So for people who are very grasping onto phenomenon, then the Buddha will talk about emptiness. For those who dwell on being void and this notion of emptiness, then Buddha will talk about what the wondrous provisional existence. So,The point of that is to point us toward the middle way. And it's important also to keep in mind that when we talk about middle way, it doesn't mean there's a point that's in the middle. It's not that. It's simply referring to not dwelling on either side of existence or emptiness. And we shouldn't be attached to either notions.
那才是真实的哈，一时境界嘛哈。那我们上一次已经把上两次已经把一时境界哈，这个藕益大师和孟参老和尚怎么解释啊？稍微跟大家用体相用啊，中汉传佛教的一种特别的体相用啊的三个面相来说明理跟事哈。那菩萨跟我反映说，法师听不懂呢。我说我也搞不清楚呢，因为一时境界我也没看到。那我说那我们只能是说借由祖师大德说的东西，至少我们提醒自己知道什么不是，虽然我们不知道什么是，但是知道什么是不是的时候赶快把它放下。
So remember, this not dwelling on either side of emptiness or existence is that one true reality. So in the previous sessions, we have used these specific taxonomy in Chinese Buddhism, trying to explain the essence and phenomenon by using this way of categorization where you talk about the essence, the forms, as well as the function of the notion.So we went into quite a bit of detail explaining one true reality that way. But then there were some people in the audience later came back to me and said, that was rather confusing. And my response was, I wasn't very clear myself either because I haven't become enlightened, so I don't know. I haven't seen what this one true reality is. So...I guess what we can take away from this by studying the sutra is to learn that even though we don't know what that one true reality is, at least we can use the sutra to let us know what isn't. And by knowing what isn't, whenever we find ourselves dwelling on what shouldn't be, then we will remind ourselves to let go of any attachment to those kind of thinking or attachments.
那地藏王菩萨也知道我们也搞不清楚，所以就要一时境界讲完是我们的最高原则。他在讲赞察善恶业报经的时候，他只是说最高，这不是算命的经典，在赞察善恶业报的时候的最高 指导原则是一时境界哈。那但是呢，因为我们都还没到那里，所以他就介绍了两种观道，一个叫做唯心是观，一个叫真如是观。好，那我们要怎么样修行，然后才能够真正的见看到一时境界？
And the Earth Store Bodhisattva was very compassionate. He knew that it would be very difficult for us to understand, or almost impossible for us to understand right away what this one true reality is. But he did explain this one true reality is the highest principle, the fundamental principle. This sutra of discerning of consequences of wholesome and wholesome karma isn't a sutra that's teaching you about casting or investigation. It's for us to try to get at or aim at this one true reality. And there are two practical or more concrete method that has been passed down, also explained in the sutra, which is two ways of contemplation. The first one is the mind consciousness method, and the other one is true suchness method of contemplation.
好，刚开始先介绍唯心是观哈。那在据我目前研读的结果哈，唯心是观呢，它里面有很多的观念哈，是跟唯识学很接近。可是呢，这个地赞茶三个业报经哈，因为注解的人很少，讲的人很少哈，所以偶益大师跟孟参老和尚是参考偶益大师哈。那偶益大师他呢，不仅是用唯识学，他还用如来藏的思想哈来解释唯心是观哈，所以稍微有点不同。但是我们这次经哈，不会去做这个比较。但是会引用一点哈，那唯心是观的第一个，就是于一切时一切处，随身口意有所作业，悉当观察，知为是心。
So the first one we're going to talk about is the contemplation of the mind consciousness contemplation, and as I was studying this sutra myself, I actually realized that there's a lot of connection of this particular approach to the conscious-only school of thought in Chinese Buddhism. And but there were, with this particular sutra, there were relatively few commentaries. There weren't a lot of people studying it. Great Master Meng Can was one, but his commentary used Master Oyi's commentary as a stepping stone. And whereas Master Oyi back then, he draw upon two schools of thoughts, the conscious-only school as well as the Tathagata Garba school of thought. So he drew information and analysis from both schools of thought. We're not going to go into that kind of comparison analysis here. But instead, we're going to directly talk about these two methods of contemplation. And one of the key notion with this particular contemplation is this quote here, that one should contemplate anywhere and at any time, that all the actions taken by one's body, speech, and mind are indeed manifested by the consciousness.
讲 consciousness 哈，它又有点 confusing 哈。是想心呢它有染净，这个染净就是如来藏的说法，有染净的方式。那这个心呢，就是从我们染污的心识一直到真正的真如的心，真心都是包括在这个心里面。
So using the term consciousness as translation can be a little bit misleading and confusing, because that's only one dimension of the mind. The kind of mind or mind that we talk about in Buddhism includes when the mind is still defiled and impure, and as well as all the way to when it's completely pure. So it's more of a spectrum. You should understand the concept as a spectrum where it's it can be defiled and with delusion, and but all the way up until when you reach the true wisdom of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, that is still called the mind as well. So it's a pretty broad term.
那我在读这个下半卷的时候哈，其实我觉得蛮殊胜的地方哈，就是他从唯心心事，好，从唯识知道外相是虚幻的，慢慢拉回如来藏的真心哈，然后再进入中观。所以大圣三系全部包在这里面，唯识、如来藏、总观。
So when I was studying the sutra, there's this particular aspect that I found was very special and auspicious. Whereas from this method of contemplation, it first discussed the notion where all phenomena are manifestations of the mind, which corresponds with the thinking in the conscious only school.And then further on, it leads to the notion of Tathagata Garbha, and eventually leading to the notion of the middle way. So all the three main thinkings in Mahayana Buddhism is actually included in this sutra, in the second chapter.
那要怎么观呢？总要有一个对象嘛，那在这边就讲，他说，其实我们一切处、一切时，就是在做什么？行、住、坐、卧、语言跟坐坐，哈，就是其他的，哈，比如说大小便利啊、打扫啊、洗碗啊这些，哈。那六境呢，在六行的当中呢，一定是怎么样？见色、闻声、嗅香、受味、觉触跟知法，所以在这个十二见识当中，要修唯心识观。
So how do we go about practicing this method of contemplation? When we want to practice contemplation, usually there first need to be an object of contemplation. So this object of contemplation can be everything that we do, our conducts or actions.Which include walking, standing, sitting, lying down, speaking, or doing any other sort of things like using the restroom, eating, etc. As well as the six sensory objects, sight, sound, smell, taste, sensation, and thoughts. All these 12 phenomena together can be used for us to contemplate the fact that all actions taken by one's body, speech, and mind are manifested by the mind, by consciousness.
那比如说我们打个比方哈，行，每天我们都走路吧，不管你是走楼梯、楼上楼下哈，去搭 subway 哈，搭公车，我们行，行的时候有没有色声香味触法？那有觉察到吗？比如说你走路的时候你看到什么？你会看什么？什么东西你没有看到？声音呢？车子的声音，对不对？人的声音，不同的鸟叫的声音听到吗？树叶被风吹的声音有听到吗？好，对不对？好，那水沟里面有流水的声音有听到吗？好，那味道呢？经过那个面包店，哎呀，好香，咖啡店哈。这个太明显了，哇，好香哦！然后眼睛就赶快看一下哈，好，那狗大便在路边，好，那很多味道哈。那请问早上的空气跟傍晚的空气味道有没有一样？一样啊？有没有闻到？好，那味受其实哈，走路的时候。这个其实我们每天我们的味觉哈、哦，一天是不一样的嘞，知不知道？你早上起来喝水就白开水嘛哈、哦，中午喝晚上喝，你的味觉是不一样的。同样的， 我们早上起来你就端光吞口水哈，那个味道都不一样， taste 不一样，因为你嘴巴的味道不一样，好，然后你分泌唾液都不一样，那觉受也一样哦，走在路上有没有风吹，那今天冷还是热，好，然后你是呢，像我现在比如说讲经讲一讲热，好，毛孔热啊啊，有时候脚冷，好，走一走，走着走着身体就慢慢热起来了，这个触觉你有感受到吗？好，那法等一下再说。
So let's take walking, for example, as an object of contemplation. We walk every day. We sometimes walk on the flat ground, walk up, down the stairs, walking to the subway. But as you walk, you come across all sorts of phenomena. While walking, do you encounter sights, any sort of forms, visual forms? Are you aware of them? What is it that you see and what is it that you don't see? Same as sound. Do you hear the sounds of birds chirping, the sounds of traffic, the sounds of water running in the gutter, or the rustling of leaves on the tree? What do you hear and what do you not hear? Same as smell. As we're walking, we smell all sorts of things. One very obvious one is walking past a bakery or walking past a coffee shop, and our response is very immediate, and oftentimes it will lead us to taking a glance at the coffee shop. Or sometimes we walk past some dog poop. That also generates a lot of smell as well. So, and as to smell, have you ever noticed that the smell of the air at dawn versus at dusk? Do air smell different at different times of the day? Have you ever noticed it? Taste. It's the same thing. Our taste is constantly changing. Even just drinking a sip of water, first thing in the morning versus at night, it tastes different. And our saliva is changing as well. Sensation is also changing. And are we aware of all these changes? Where the wind, the feeling of the wind brushing your skin, or feeling hot and feeling cold. And as I'm talking right now, giving a talk, I'm feeling hot, my feet are cold. So all these are different kind of sensations, and that we tune in and aware of these sensations.
所以我们从家里出来哈，走着走着，其实我们的体温都一直在改变的哈，那也要知道。那法是什么？我最近年纪大了哈，我常常哈从楼上走下来，然后就忘记我为什么要下来，我走下来做什么？想一想，对不对哈？啊，大家都有发生哈，就是说你忽然走去拿一个茶杯，奇怪我要干嘛？走回去，然后又想到又再走出来哈。那来这边听经是很明显的时候，我要到东出禅寺，所以我要走到东出禅寺来听经，这是很明显。但是有人说，我为什么走去那里？忽然忘记哈，就忘记了哈。那还有就是，比如说我们走路的时候，我们为什么可以走路啊？谁在走路？好，你知道走路是多么复杂哈？现在不是在开发那个 robot 吧，机器人嘛，为了让机器人走路像人，你知道要花多少多少的时间、精力跟知识吗？但是我们每天这么厉害的在走路，我们都不觉得自己很厉害。
So, even when, as for walking, when we walk from home to here, along the way, our body temperature is already changing. Are you aware of that? So finally, as related to thoughts, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but I feel as I'm aging, sometimes I forget things. I will be upstairs, walking downstairs, but once I get downstairs, I forget what was the reason for me to come downstairs. Or I'm going to get a cup, but by the time I get there, I forget what it was about. So going from one place to another. For you, coming here to CMC, to Chan Center, the intention is very obvious, so it's not likely that you're going to forget that you're here to listen to the talk. But sometimes we forget about the little things. And also related to walking, have you ever wondered why is that that enables us to walk? And who is it that is walking? Are you conscious? Are you aware that this act of walking is actually very complex and complicated? And with the development of robots these days, it takes a lot of trials and error and a lot of effort into making the robot walk natural, like human beings. Yet we're accomplishing this amazing feat every day, not realizing what we are actually doing.
那其他的一样哈，如果我们一个一个去反省我们的行住坐卧，包括说话哦，也是一样的。还有任何的一个动作，都要知道自己的色身香味触法哈是什么。这样光这样的一个觉照哈，就已经我们要练习很久了哈。那接下来要讲的哈，又更加的细微了哈。
So we need to apply this kind of heightened awareness to everything, not just walking, but even when we're standing, sitting, laying down, talking, or doing any other sort of mundane activities, that we need to be aware of all sight, sound, smell, taste, sensation, and thoughts that comes while we're doing these activities. So first, to develop this heightened sense of awareness is already, it will take a lot of effort, it takes a lot of practice to have this kind of awareness, but that's not the final step. We're going to talk more about what comes up next in terms of practice.
好，那我在开始要介绍哈，这个《占察三恶业报经》的经文哈，那偶益大师怎么帮他分段做科判的之前呢，我发现他是偶益大师是用大圣止观法门的结构来分析这部经文在讲怎么做为心事观。好，那先解释一下，这个是师父的硕士论文哈，慧思禅师写的《大圣止观法门》，那师父的硕士论文是 study 哈，这个，那它里面有讲一个五番建立哈，就是说任何一个真的有系统的方法，它一定要有五个面向，好，你不能是随随便便说我自己去开发一个方法哈，我就可以让你哈成佛开悟哈，那是一没有教理根据，没有方法，没有一个。一个正统的一个教学的话呢，它就是一个很浮的东西哈。那在大圣止观的五番建立里面，第二项是讲止观的境界哈，它就讲到了三个层次：真实性、依他性跟分别性。
So when I was studying the second chapter and I'm going deeper into it.I made the connection. I realized that Master O.E. had relied on the taxonomy that came up from the Mahayana teaching on calming and insight. From that scripture, using the categorization from that scripture to explain the contemplation of consciousness only of the mind. And what I am based on is what Shifu had wrote, and this is his master's thesis, where he looked into the scripture and looked into the taxonomy. And where in this thesis, Shifu had pointed out that for any kind of teaching,it needs to be systematic, and it needs to include five different dimensions. So it's not like any average Joe on the street can just suddenly one day say, I come up with a method that will lead to Buddhahood. It doesn't work like that. Without a sound foundation in Dharma teachings, as well as a systematic approach to it, whatever methods the so-and-so come up with will just be very superficial and lacks any substantial understanding.
Okay. 我现在是统一止观哈，用什么Samatha and Vipassana 哈。那其实战茶三二叶包经介绍的唯心是观，就是在讲止观法门。那这个止观法门，我们会在明年度哈讲大圣地藏十轮经的时候哈，会介绍在七部介绍止观法门哈。那这边讲的这个三个层次呢，真实性呢，就是在讲呢佛的净德哈，是出障真如，就是你排除所有障碍的时候的那个真如哈。那依他性呢，其实就是在讲阿赖耶识，阿赖耶识里面的种子，所有我们起的分别都是因为他。那第三个呢，是在讲分别性，就是说我们为什么会起分别，就是第七跟第六意识在作祟。第七起分别，然后它依阿赖耶识里面的种子起分别，所以我们没有办法看到什么我们本来真实的本性，叫做真实性。
So the state ofSamatha and Vipassana can be further divided into three different levels, and which are the nature of the truth and the nature of other dependence, as well as the nature of existence according to the discriminating mind. Whereas the nature of the truth is the wisdom of Buddhas and which is without obstructions,And the second one, the nature of other dependent, is basically referring to the alaya consciousness, where that is the base of all the discrimination. And whereas, finally, the nature of existence according to discriminating mind is because of the sixth and seventh consciousness, then retrieve information from the alaya consciousness and further give rise to further discrimination of phenomena.
所以呢，第一个哈，这个唯心是观的第一个 level 哈，的止观呢，就是要先破除什么？就是要破除这个第六、第七识的分别妄想。妄想跟分别哈，妄想是指第七识的妄想执着，那个就是我哈，我执。然后第六意识的分别哈，那这个叫做，所以呢，在这里呢，经文被分成分别性的关门跟分别性的止门。
So to approach this method of contemplation, at the first level, the more basic level, is first you have to try to dispel the deluded thinking that's based on the nature of existence according to discriminating mind. So we're trying to break away from delusion and discrimination that arises from the sixth and seventh consciousness.Basically, breaking away from the attachment of self, and as well as all the discriminating thought that arises from the sixth consciousness. And from that, for that particular level, the first level, it's divided into the method of contemplation, the vipassana, as well as the method of samatha.
那先讲哈，分别性的关门哈。观止观的观哈，他说一切境界，如果若心呢住念了哈，就住在某个念头上的时候，我们应该要马上觉察到，好，然后不要使心无际攀缘，不自觉知。这什么意思？其实我们每天都在无际攀缘的哈。比如说，我刚刚哈。比如说要举一个故事哈，就说这个，本来想说，我 我没有无忌哦，我是想说我等一下要讲绿子的时候呢，我要讲哈、哦，走路的时候经过面包店闻到咖啡，对不对？那可是呢，我马上就这是有意的哈、哦，有觉知的想，然后马上我就变成哇，那个 bakery 昨天那个面包，我们占卜的时候面包不知道有没有留下来，好、哦，那我等一下哈、哦，还要想要吃哪一个口味的面包，然后我就已经不自觉的无忌攀援了，因为我的例子已经想好了，但是因为想到面包了嘛哈，然后就忽然之间就自己脑子就接到昨天占卜哈、哦，那么多面包，然后也不知道有没有留下来哈、哦，然后什么什么啊，不然要配咖啡还是配茶，哇，然后就忽然哟奇怪了，就已经无忌攀援了呢哈。还不自觉之啊，后来大概花了半分钟才觉察，赶快回到教案来。
So, to break away from, dispel this discriminating mind, the method for contemplation, vipassana, is this quote, the first quote, that we should always be aware when our mind dwells on any particular object,and do not allow our mind to grasp onto any object blindly without being aware of it. Grasping onto a phenomenon, an object blindly without being aware of it, we are doing this every day, day in and day out. So let me use myself as an example. Right before this, I was trying to think of examples about that I should include in today's talk to make the teaching more concrete.So, I thought of this example that when you're walking every day, walking past a bakery, that we should be aware of the smell or whatnot, and we should know what we're aware of. So at that time, my mind was still aware. It was conscious. It was focused with intention on creating materials for today's talk. But the next moment, because the thought of bakery came up, my thought went in the other direction, started thinking,Oh, the bread that we had yesterday, I wonder if there's any more left. And if there's any left, which one should I eat? Which flavor should I use? Should I pick? And whether I should eat it with bread or with coffee. All these thoughts came up without me being aware of it. It just came up. And it was only until like half a minute passed that it made me realize, wait a second, my mind had wandered off. So I brought it back.To focus on the teaching again, on the lesson plan again. So that illustrates what our minds does without being consciously aware of it.
所以在我们修行的过程中，不是不能想，而是想的时候你要有就是守心，哈，就是在这边讲说，至少这边讲的无忌攀援，哈，不是以前我们讲说。善恶无忌的那个无忌、哦、善恶无忌是指不善不恶，这里的无忌是没有内守心，就是不是你自己要想的，不是你自己知道自己要想的东西，然后你就开始、哦、把记忆全部拖出来，或是你就联想一大堆，这些都是无忌攀援的东西，然后你不忽然觉照，那这我们在打坐的时候常常发现嘛，坐在那边啊，本来是要用方法的，然后就心已经不知道散到哪里去了，这就是无忌攀援。所以这第一个在不管修啊数息啦，任何一个法门，莫造化头也好，全部呢心一定要觉察心住在哪里，好，是要充分完全的觉知，然后不是自己就是向外攀援，好，这就是第一个关。分别性的观，因为你有分别嘛，哈，我要注意书，还是注意电脑，还是注意你们，还是注意面包，这个是我必须要做抉择的，哈。
So, when we talk about this approach and Buddhism, it doesn't mean that we should not have any thoughts. That's not what we're aiming at. Instead, we need to be aware of what we're thinking.So over here, the key notion is awareness, And we should not allow our mind to wander astray, wander off without just becoming blind and not aware of where the mind is. So one of the most important notion or the first fundamental step in when we practice meditation, regardless of the method that you choose, it could be counting breath, investigating hua tou or silent illumination, regardless. You should always be clearly aware of where your mind is, what your mind is dwelling on, what your thought is dwelling on. So at this time, you need to give rise to clear awareness of the object where your mind is dwelling on. So at this stage, it's still contemplation with discriminating mind, but the awareness is there, knowing what you are thinking.
So 这个观哈，就是一般修止观哈，观是在观能观，止是什么？止所观。好，那这个分别性的止观就是要止所观。那这是什么意思呢？他说，于念念间，每一念每一念，我们都要观察。我现在我已经是有记攀缘哈，不是无记哦，就喂。我在想这本书，我就比如说我在看这个钟哈。当你的心有所缘念的时候，那先要止那个缘念哈。这个缘念要怎么止呢？我们要使心，你随时驱逐彼念，就是前念，就是我当下这一念必须要把前面那念止掉，而且心要很清楚。比如说我刚刚看钟，我现在在看电脑，钟这个就已经要止掉了，前念后就是正当下这一念要把前念止掉了。
So whenever we talk about this method of samatha and vipassana is observing, contemplating what the object, what can be contemplated, the object of contemplation. So there's an object to be contemplated. But the samatha part is referring to then stopping that contemplation, stopping what is being contemplated. So everything has to be conducted in a very conscious, very clear way that we're already departing from this mindless grasping, unaware grasping of the mind. Now we are clearly grasping onto a clear object. And then the part about samatha is whatever you are attending to this very moment, this present moment, by attending to this present thought, any prior thought that you have should have already ceased, been stopped. So let's say right previously I was looking at the clock and now I'm looking at the computer. By the time I'm looking at the computer, any thought of the clock should have been stopped. So that is the method of samatha at this level.
原因是什么？因为呢，前念是什么？它已经过去了，它已经不存在了，对不对？所以我们要保持在当下这一念。那保持在当下这一念，止于现前的这一念哈，并不是是说，就变成说，你当下这一念呢，是止于当下这一念是你的能观，好，但是呢，它不代表你的所观境是前念，好，止于。现念是因为知道用前念是假的来保持现在这一念，但是呢，现在的这一念是能观，所观的念是什么？还没有发生的那一念。那这个非常的重要，是因为当我们在用任何方法的时候，不是去追逐熟悉末照话头已经过去的前念，而是在心要守在当下这一念去看。 看还没有发生的那一个。
所以能观是当下，所观是未来
还没有发生的。后你如果讲后念也行，就是不是去收于止于当下这一念，它有一个功能是去除过去前念，但是它是守住你这一念是能观，那它要所观的其实是后念，不让后念不让后念呢，要让后念保持在正念上。
So what is the reason for doing that? Having this differentiation and knowing that we should focus on the current and should stop the prior thoughts. What's the reason for doing that? Focusing on the moment, this present is the subject of what is able to do the contemplation, and whatever has passed is already passed. And by stopping that is to help us, stopping the prior thought is a way to help us focus on the present and knowing the subject of what can be contemplated. And what will then be the object of contemplation? It will be whatever that has yet to arise. So the past thought is sort of a mechanism that stops, that limits the present thought to make it dwell on the present moment. But then the projected, the object of contemplation is what has yet to arise. And reason for doing that is, by looking to what has yet to arise, then we can focus our mind on what the proper thoughts, the right view of contemplation.
Well, by stilling the mind at the present moment, you will be able to detach from your previous thought. That's the function of stilling the mind at the present moment. But when you still your mind at the present moment, it becomes your subjectivity that you are at the present moment. But then you have subjectivity, then you have objectivity. Then the objectivity is not the previous past thought. The objectivity is the future, not yet arising thought. So that's the basic guideline for all the meditation method. So when you counting the breath, it's your object is not the past breathing thought. It's the just arised that moment. And also for Hua Tou, the same thing. Xu Yun Master saying that his Hua Tou is the thought that before the thought arise. So the present thought is asking, wanting to know, but the object is the thought not arise yet. 好，中文再讲一次，对不起。就是说这个观念很重要，就是说当我们在数呼吸的时候，请你不要把你的所缘境放在已经过去的呼吸上面或是数字上面，好，而是当下要起来一，我就是因为我要给他一的就是一，然后要二，好，那你的心守住那个然后一出来，那话头一样，什么是无，想要知道，那虚云老上他的话头就是一念未生之前那个是什么，所以你的心守住当下是我想知道，那个念头就是我什么是，所以你的念头是在当下，可是你守住的是什么，不是那一句话，那句话是没有意义的，而是那个还没出来的那个是什么。那一样默照也是，好，默照你要你默 抹掉所有已经前就是已经发生的事情，立刻抹掉。照呢？你照什么？照那个还没升起的那个。好，绝对不是去维持在清安静啊，什么有的没有的，什么身心反应。你有身心反应，你有什么清安静，那都已经是发生了的事情。如果你去圆它，它就一直持续，那它就变成你的执着，那你的照就不见了，你就只在你的清安静。
So same thing with silent illumination. What you are trying to silence is whatever prior thoughts that has already arise. And what you are trying to illuminate is that thing that has yet to arise before the next thought. So the point of this meditation method is not at all to dwell on peace and comfort, the feeling of ease and sensation. Those are things that has already passed. If you dwell on those and try to grasp onto that, then you sustain that phenomena and it becomes an attachment. So that is not the notion, the focus of any meditation method.
好，那这还是哈第一个 level， 用方法止观哈，这是止观是所有法门的基础。它是原理道理是一样的。
And yet this is still only the first level, first stage. And the methods of Samatha and Vipassana is actually the root and the guiding principle in all kind of meditation method. It goes all toward the same fundamental principles.
好，那这样的分别练习分别性的止观门，不断的练，不断的练，那我们就会慢慢的对于所有的内外境界不起分别，不会去执着它，不会去攀缘它嘛。那我记得楞严经有讲，一件事情为什么会持续，就是后念攀前念嘛，一直攀一直攀。包括你的记忆，很久以前的你在前念去攀前念，它就变成是好像是真的。所以慢慢的练习分别性的止观门，慢慢的至少第六意识的分别哈，会减少很多。
So by practicing this method of still using discriminating, looking into discriminating nature, if you persist on this practice, then gradually all internal and external phenomena, you will no longer distinguish between the two and not distinguish between, differentiate, discriminate between different kind of phenomena.So you will stop this, using the latter thought to grasp onto prior thought. It's by doing this continuous grasping onto our memories or whatnot that we make a phenomenon appear to be reality. But once you break away from that, you will be able to break away from the discriminating thoughts.
好，那接下来要讲依他性的中观中道的观止观。好，这看好，这他讲，他就不是讲止观哦，他是讲中道的止跟中道的观哈。那依他性，如果大家还记得，就是在讲阿赖耶识。好，为什么我们会有那么多的分别？它其实来自于我们不清净的阿赖耶识里面所种的种子。比如说他说刚开始的时候我们要观内心，现在在讲唯心是观，都在讲内心。我们之前已经不会去攀缘外面了，内心了。那在内心所有起的念头，这个念头就包括很自然的，比如说哎呦他好高哦，他怎么那么矮，高矮长短好恶得失，这些念头其实都是内心自己产生的。好，那怎么讲？有人喜欢吃饭，有人喜欢吃面，对吧？啊，两盘端出来，你就会有喜恶了吧？你就会自己去选面或是选饭，对不对？那 那你请问你可以说面不好吃或饭不好吃吗？对你来讲是，对他来讲不是。好，那你们养小孩的时候最清楚，有时候你的小孩就是不吃这个，打死他就是不吃。我小时候就是这样，被我爸爸罚，这个不吃完就不可以离开餐桌，我就跟他拗，不吃，坐在那边，就说这个又不是毒药，为什么不能吃呢？我就不爱吃嘛，这么难吃的东西。好，那可是对我哥哥来讲，他很喜欢吃这个，但我爸就不给他吃，不会逼他吃多一点这样哈，他会逼我吃这样哈。所以那个善恶好坏，奇怪，那为什么同样爸爸妈妈生的，他喜欢吃我不喜欢吃？那到底是来自为什么会这样？来自于我们的内心，八四田阿赖耶识中的种子哈，去勾出来哈，做判别的哈。
So moving on to the next level, is this contemplating the method of contemplating this dependent nature, using going through contemplating of the middle way and using via samatha and vipassana methods. So it's basically talking about all the discrimination that arises are the result of our discriminating alaya consciousness. And at this stage, when we're describing what's happening, what the practice that should proceed in this stage, we're already not talking about external phenomena. All those should have been quiet and non-discriminating already. So we're now entirely focusing on phenomenon of the inner mind. And so the quote goes, one should know that our inner mind is the one that creates perceptive thoughts. And it's not the objects themselves that creates this kind of discriminating thoughts, such as something's long or short, good or evil, right or wrong, etc. So it's the mind that's creating all this discrimination. So how should I, to explain it, let's say rice and noodles. Some people prefer rice and some people prefer noodles. And when two dishes are brought in front of you, you naturally will prefer one or another. You like something and dislike something. But can you really label it objectively as saying rice is more delicious than a noodle? You can, because it's all subjective. So similarly, I remember when I was a kid, and maybe a lot of you who raise kids will have similar experience where you give your kids something to eat and that your child just refuses to eat it no matter what. I remember that happened with me quite a bit when I was growing up, and my dad would, we would be sort of stuck in this head-to-head kind of gridlock for a long time over the food, and he would say, if you don't finish it, then you can get off the table or you have nothing else to eat. So I simply refused to eat that dish, and whereas my brother, he likes it a lot, and yet my dad doesn't give extra to him. So, but why is that? You know, why is that? We are just siblings. We are born from same parents, but why do we make this kind of, we have different kind of preferences? So the root of these discriminating thoughts and preferences all came from our inner mind, our alaya consciousness.
Yeah. 那依他性中止门是什么意思？好，刚刚的观是观内心哈，你怎么操作你的心，就是所观哈。那止是什么？观是能观，好，能分别的哈。那止观是指什么？指那个境界哈。那这边就讲哦，他说我们要知道说一切境界哦，本来就没有分别，它没有长短好恶，没有有无，好，所有一切相都是什么？所有一切相一切法都是我们心想的。这怎么说呢？好的，偶一大师举一个例子哈，他说。一个美女，一个女生很漂亮出现了哈，那男生看到就趋之若鹜嘛，就像苍蝇一样，哈，叮叮叮哈。那如果呢？如果哈，这个女生那个她太太在旁边，看到她的先生这样， 他看到那女的就讨厌，就冤，好像冤家，你要抢我老公哈。然后他说，这个女孩呢，就出现在鱼池边，一出现鱼就吓跑，就赶快游下去，不要给你抓到嘛哈。然后如果天上的鸟，你走过去它就飞走了哈。然后鹿看到你也赶快跑，好，因为有人嘛，怕被打。然后如果有修不净观的人看到你，就像什么？像在厕所里面的虫，因为他修不净观嘛，那个尸体会被虫吃尽嘛，哈，所以，哎，这只是一个人，一个女生站在那边哈，不同的人对我，哦，这也解释第一个 level， 不同人的心的那个内心，哈，他勾引出来的对你这个站在这里这个人哈，所有的反应都不一样，可是这个人。他有善有恶吗？他说我又没有做什么坏事，好，奇怪，你喜欢我难道是我的错吗？好，这就是哈，所以有时候我们就是这样，有时候我有时候看一个人看得啊，一直希望他不要出现哈，可是我想说为什么就有人很喜欢他？我想说，然后我们就会觉得说那个人有问题，这种人他怎么会喜欢？那都没有想到说自己有问题嘛哈，那个人也像我也很无辜啊，我有时候我就觉得说我就是这样啊哈，为什么我说一句话，有的人好高兴啊，有的人好生气，你就莫名其妙，那到底我要不要讲这句话呢？好，那大家如果都能够反自内心哈，其实境界，如果你们把我当成一个境界，境界的本身它没有什么善恶好坏。因为是我们的内心，自己阿赖耶识看要 pour out 什么种子，决定他的好坏善恶。所以这时候呢，依他性的中观门跟中止门，第一个观就是知道说，当你莫名其妙就是一起开始在判别这种内心，你要知道说是你内心的阿赖耶识勾出来的东西。然后呢，境界的本身没有什么好坏的。
So, as to practicing samatha, of contemplating this dependent nature, so again, the method of vipassana is to observe what can be contemplated, the objectivity of, hold on, what can be contemplated.Whereas the samatha part is stopping the object of awareness. So anyway, the important things to take away is that all of the discriminating thoughts are really created by our own mind, and it's deeply rooted in our consciousness, the alaya consciousness. So Master Oe gave this example where a beautiful woman is standing there.And the woman is so beautiful that the man's eyes, they glued onto that woman and they flock to her like flies. And so these men are really, they really like to look at this woman. But if there's the man's wife, there's a man whose wife standing next to her husband, seeing her husband's eye gluing onto that beautiful woman, the wife will give rise to anger and feeling hatred toward that woman. But the same woman, you know, the same beautiful woman could be walking around, going to the fish pond, and the fish will see someone approaching, then they all swim away. And same thing with birds or deers, these all natural animals, when there are strangers approaching, they will all disperse. Or if this woman come across someone who practice the contemplation of impurities, then in that case, in the practitioner's mind, the practitioner of impurity contemplation, in that person's mind, the woman will appear to be like maggots in the bathroom, maggots or something that's defiled. Has that same person changed? That person has never changed. It's just that the perceiver has changed and the perception of her changes according to the perceiver. So this woman, she's a phenomenon, an object of perception. She has triggered all different sorts of reactions and discriminating thoughts from within different people. So she is really quite guileless. There's no fault in her intrinsically. She is just who she is, but it triggers different kind of reaction. I have experienced similar things, that there are certain people that I see, I simply don't want to see that person again. I kept hoping that that person would not come again. Or whenever, if you see another person, actually have different reaction toward that prior person that I was talking about, then you start to wonder, what's going on between them? Is there any problem between them? Not really realizing that the person who's giving rise to all these discriminating thought is me, myself. So, similarly, if you treat me as a phenomenon, sometimes it's also kind of tricky that sometimes I will say the same sentence, and the same line of sentence will be received with either joy and happiness, but another person hearing the exact same sentence will become angry with me. So these are all illustrations to show you that the phenomenons themselves, the objects themselves, are devoid of intrinsic good or evil. It is the perceiver, the person that's looking at this phenomenon, perceiving the phenomenon, that is generating all these discriminating thought, which is rooted in our own alaya consciousness.
所以, 依他性的中观门跟中止门, 大家想想哈, 真的不是在外面, 是在里面, 当你可以知道说, 一切唯心所造的时候, 去观察每一个起心动念, 好, 就是说, 你知道你看到一个人, 他其实是你内心所现的, 但那个内心所现的那个境, 他没有善恶好坏, 差别, 那是因为我们阿赖耶识里面, 的种子, 喜欢这个不喜欢种子, 这个, 所以它就有善恶好坏的差别, 哦, 所以就是要观察它, 而且要止, 就是当你发现你, 你的内心在起这样的一个分别的时候, 你就要给它止住。
So, with this level of practice, it's important to know that all these phenomena is first created by the mind, and the phenomena that's perceived by the mind, them intrinsically, doesn't have any good or evil. Whatever response or discriminating thoughts that has given rise reacting to this phenomenon, again, it came from our own inner mind, from our own consciousness. So we need to be clearly aware of what's going on, the perceiving of phenomenon and our reaction to the phenomenon, and more importantly, to stop it and by knowing that these are all merely manifestations of our own mind.
那如果我们可以在日常生活刚刚提到嘛，好，行住坐卧语言坐坐的时候呢，然后针对你的什么色受想行，色身香味触法，做如是的观察，这时候呢，在打坐，在都能够这样子观察得很直观哈，都可以练习的时候，你这时候我们去打坐的时候呢，然后就可以练什么？ 随心所缘，不是把自己的心关起来，而是你很清楚的觉照的时候呢，你随心所缘，你每一年都知道它是唯心生灭的，然后你又不是执着它，你清楚知道鸟在叫这个，可是它过去了就是过去了，你心不会，那是因为你很清楚知道那个缘进来。 然后就灭了，进来就灭，就像流水跟火焰灯蜡烛的火焰一样，你看它一直流，好像在那边，其实它是不一样的，它每一个当下的那一点，通通都不一样了，所以我们知道，那个内心的念头能够细微到这样念念念念，都知道是新的生灭，新的显灭的现象，然后不去无暂时住，都不会去住。 就是去执着它，这时候呢才会得色即三昧。所谓的色即三昧，就是说你不会被所谓就是色相的生灭，就是心的生灭，然后你又不住，所以 这个时候就可以不住色相的生灭，叫做色即三昧。
So if we're able to practice the earlier two levels of the method that we described, that be clearly aware when we are walking, standing, sitting, lying down, speaking, and just conducting everyday activities, and be clearly aware of the phenomena that we come to contact with, the sight, sound, smell, taste, sensation, and thoughts. If we continue to practice this way and practice seeing the true nature and not be discriminating of the phenomena, then once we start to sit down in meditation, doing sitting meditation, we'll be able to do it in the way that for all the objects captured by the mind, that we will be able to know that every thought and their appearance are consequences of arising and perishing of the mind. So as we sit in meditation, we don't sit with a closed mind, that we stay open and be clearly aware of all the phenomena that's happening around us. Thought after thought, we are aware of the bird chirping, but we're not grasping onto the sound of the birds because we know that something is past, it's already past. And then, so we will have this kind of clear awareness also by understanding that there are consequences of the arising and perishing of the mind. And it was almost like using the analogy that it's a flowing water and the flame on the lamp, where every flame is different and you're clearly aware that they are all different. They don't ever stay, even temporarily. And from this point on, so clearly seeing all the differences, be aware of moment to moment, we're not attached to any phenomena, any forms, and then be able to attain the form equanimity samadhi.
就是色即三昧，就是等于是说我们的心不会住于这个跟外境互动之后投射在我们内心的一切现象产生的任何分别执着。这时候你遇到什么人，看到什么事情，第一个不会觉得那是外境，那知道是内心，然后知道是内心因为第六识来的第六七识的执着，还有第八意识阿赖耶识的这个原来的分别而来所以你就不会去执着它了，那这世间的一切现象不会再拔着你了。这时候就要进入什么性色摩他关系，这时候我们才可以从事入理，从事相上入理。
So this attaining the form equanimity samadhi, it means that your mind doesn't dwell on any particular object, and it's basically the mind is interacting with external phenomenon, and we don't dwell on any of the projection that is the result of this interaction. Any kind of reaction that arises as our mind interacts with external phenomenon, we don't dwell on them thinking that they are real. And we don't no longer make the distinction between what is external, and we know that it's all manifestation of the inner mind. And furthermore, knowing that the discrimination or whatever reaction arises is the result of the activity in our consciousness, the sixth and seventh and Laya consciousness. And by knowing that their origin is all in our inner mind, we will no longer be bothered by the reactions and or attached to any of the reactions that arises.
好，我接下来要开始这个赶进度因为这个直观明年在讲的时候会再讲更清楚一点那从色即三昧，我们不会被事相所迷惑的时候呢，才可以真正的来观真理那这边介绍的性色摩他观心，从它的名字你就知道它还不是真正的色摩他观心，那更不要讲是阿难在楞严经里面 问的妙色摩他了哈，那就不同的 level， 因为信色摩他成就或信毕婆舍那成就呢，才只是入实性位哈，哎，差得远嘞哈，还不是在问那个哈，那信色摩他观心呢，它也是在空假中，它是一心三止哈，因为色摩他就是在修，比较注重在修止，可是它又有观哈。
So, from this point on, I have to kind of make haste. With regard to Samatha and Vipassana, next year, first part of next year, I'm going to go into them in more details. But the important, what we need to remember from whatever we have talked about so far is that the form equanimity samadhi is still referring to By having this level of samadhi, we will no longer be confused, deluded by external phenomenon. And now it's time to turn to the inner phenomenon. And this is still only one of the beginning stages, only relating to the entry point of the tenth faith. And this is not the ultimate wondrous samadha that Ananda had asked about earlier in Surigama Sutra. But now I'm going to turn the focus onto this aspect.
所以基本上性色摩他观心哈，就是凡是内心所起的任何的相都不是真的，空的哈。然后呢，有来有去的哈，就像我刚刚讲面包来，那我刚刚又没有想到面包不见了，啊，在想面包又来了哈，这种就是假的嘛哈，就是假观。就是空观，就是他是没有具真正的相，但内心我的心要是有个面包怎么可能嘛，那你现在地把它踩一下就踩到我的心了，我会不会痛？这其实就是在讲阿难尊者在楞严经里面的七出真心啊，空观观空，不像一切相是不可见的，不是真的，然后也无来无去，假观，然后它其实本性不生不灭，不生不灭哈。你不要执着，你不可以执着无哦，不能执着有了，但你不能执着无哦，无也不是真的，那就是中观。好，所以就是这是色摩他观心。那这个前提大家记得哈，你已经不会被外面的事相所迷惑了哈，才可以开始练习信色摩他观心。
So you have to reach a level where you're no longer confused by external phenomena. Then you can proceed to practice the contemplation of the mind by samatha. And basically, what you're trying to achieve by this second level of the contemplation is to see that every phenomenon that arises from your mind, they are all provisional and empty. They come and go. Just like the bread example I gave you earlier, whenever I think of it, bread manifests. Whenever I don't think of it, it disappears. So it's not like there's a really piece of bread in my mind. Had there been a real piece of mind, it's just not possible. Or if I'm thinking about the ground, if my mind is really the ground, then you step on the ground, does that mean that my mind is starting to hurt? So it's not like that. They come and go, manifested by the mind, and are provisional. So it's trying to get into the contemplation of emptiness to see that things are provisional. It neither arises nor perishes. And so we won't be attached to either existence or emptiness. You don't dwell on either side. And what we're trying to get at is the understanding that of the middle way. But again, like I said, the prerequisite to contemplate at this level would be to first get to the stage where you are no longer confused by external phenomenon.
然后可以修信色摩他观心，才可以修信毕婆舍那观心。那信毕婆舍那就要从什么？从体起用的。刚刚已经从事入理了嘛，这里要从体起用，一心三观，一心空假中三观，这个其实有一点在修神通。所谓的神通是什么？就是把我们本来的心的能力，就是因为其实我们要观色，就是 观内外色哦，哈，随心生，随心灭，包括见佛色身哦。啊，其实那个观无量寿经不是要观佛的32相80种好吗？就是在练这个啊，但你要练到随心生，随心灭哦。你想看就出来，不想看就不见。那我们都要练的，有的人要练好久好久，打坐要很久很久，然后终于观到佛陀的眉毛或是眼睛，这不就他这边已经心已经到某个地步，是他哦一观就有，心说不要看就没有了哈、哦。但是这样观，好、哦、生就是假，啊灭就是空。但是呢，他其实又非心不离心，非来非不来嘛，不是这个又不是那个，中观哈、哦，又要这样子哦哈。那这个就以后再讲了哈，没有时间讲。
So once you're able to achieve the contemplation of mind by samatha, then you will be able to continue with contemplating the mind by vipassana. And where this, you're starting to get to the function of the essence and proceed with the three types of contemplation.And over here, one should believe in practice and vipassana, should visualize the internal and external objects, both as manifested by the mind, and it will perish by the mind. So even the practice of visualization of the Buddha's physical form in the same way. So everything, whether it's internal phenomenon or internal phenomena, these will all rise and perish according to the mind. So remember in the sutra of immeasurable...life of Buddhas. I may have translated the title wrong.
The contemplation of unlimited life of
Buddhas.
Okay.
In that sutra, it talks about this method of contemplating the whole body of the sutra. And what you're trying to get to the stage where as soon as you think of it, the whole image will manifest.But for some people, it takes a very, 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 very long time to just contemplate and visualize the eyebrow of the Buddha. So it actually takes a lot of skill and a lot of practice to get to the stage where if you wanted to manifest, then it manifests. And if you wanted to go away, then it disappears right away. It doesn't, there's no remnant that stays behind. So essentially, this is sort of like a practice of spiritual superpower, natural power.Spiritual powers, where...
Not supernatural. I would say majestic or something.
Basically you're trying to tap into what your mind is really capable of doing that we haven't been able to do because of our deluded thinking, that the mind has the ability to manifest all internal as well as external phenomena. So it's trying to get at this middle way where it's not the mind, but it doesn't depart from the mind. So we're going to go more and talk about this later on as well.
Oh.看来齁，因为真如实观也很，真如实观齁很重要，就是唯心是观能够观到这样的齁，还记得吗？分别性，然后依他性的，对不对？然后现在要真实性的总直观齁，就分别性直观修完，修依他性的直观，然后才能修真实性的直观。那真实性的直观就叫真如实观齁。那真如实观其实就是就像我们之前讲一时境界听不懂哈，这里也很难说明哈，但是它直接是依真实性起止观空假中三观哈，基本上就是观不生不灭。那你不生不灭，然后不住见闻觉知，好，然后永离一切分别哈，这个反正就跟我们在讲一时境界一样，就是听起来好像懂，但是真正不懂这样。
So the next major stage is the contemplation of true suchness. Remember earlier we were talking about the contemplation of the conscious, the mind consciousness. And in there, they're already divided into stages of first contemplating of discriminating mind and the dependent nature of the mind. And then the third stage is contemplation of the true nature, which is corresponding to this this slide where it's talking about contemplation of true suchness. And basically, it's contemplating the nature of the mind that's neither arising or perishing, and it's a contemplation of the middle way, and it doesn't abide on in perception through any faculties, and it departs from thoughts of differentiation. So basically what this is talking about is contemplation that's in correspondence with one true reality. And as we have talked about earlier, because one true reality, none of us have firsthand experienced it. So we can talk about it, and it may appear that we have sort of understood it at the intellectual level, but in truth that we are very far from it. And we can just go about trying to circumlocute and try to describe it.
但是这边有一个重点，就是说当我们能够直接思维没有心性无生无灭，所以我们不会就观嘛，观心无生无灭之后不住见闻觉知，就是我们现在日常生活都是依靠见闻觉知，对不对？我们的止是什么？止于不住，把心止在不住见闻觉知的这件事情上。可是呢，又不会把没有见闻觉知当成是那个不生不灭，好，因为我们的生灭心来自于见闻觉知。那不要以为说我把心止于不住见闻觉知的那个没有，就是没有见闻觉知的状态是我们的真心。那连那个不住见闻觉知，就是不 attach 到见闻觉知的那个也必须要放掉，才能够永离一切分别，才是叫做中观真实性的中观门啊，中道门。
So the locus of this practice is that because every day now we are still operating with perception and our consciousness, etc. So what this practice is talking about is that we have to practice the stilling, the samatha, stilling at non-abiding. Non-abiding in sight, sound, and whatever
our all the perception.
Perceptions. The stopping at non-abiding. At the same time, do not give rise to this misunderstanding where having no perception, no size, no other perceptions means is equivalent to samatha. The stopping is at the non-abiding, and that's the focus of the practice.
Don't misunderstand that the state of non-abiding to the perception is the state of non-arising and non-perishing. So that's the practice of middle way. Because a lot of practitioners will think that they exclude, they neutralize the perception, meaning non-abiding. That's not. We still live people. We still have perception, just no attachment. Okay. 然后，哎呀，快马加鞭了哈。然后你就再继续修了哈，继续修，然后就会修到相似空三昧，就等于是什么四禅八定了，就这样。四禅八定。
We have to really speed up. And so the next stage is the contemplation of true suchness. And by the time we reach this, then we have reached the fourth samadhi of the formless realm.
Yeah. So this state, 就会就 all the.Tradition of practice will enter this level. 四禅八定怎么讲？
Four samadhis of the
four samadhis of the form. Okay. 然后这样一直修哈，那个状态四禅八定的这个状态是所有善知识大慈悲者守护长养的，但它不会维持在那里哈， 那大家这里很重要，大慈悲者要有一个大慈悲心，你守护那个大慈悲心，你才可能进入心即三昧，不然你就是永远待在四禅八定里面。
So once you reach this level of four samadhi of the formless realm, then look at the bottom half, and if one is at that stage, one will be protected and cared by all beneficent learned friend who had great loving kindness and compassion. But the key word here in this sentence is to give rise to this great loving kindness and compassion, without which you will all forever then be attached and be dwelling in this state, fourth state of samadhi or formlessness, and not won't be able to move on into the next level.
好，那这时候呢，就会进入，才能够辗转进入心即三昧。好，心即三昧就是说不会被心的任何一个现象所影响或执着。刚刚色即三昧是不会被一切的现象所影响，这里是不会被心的任何这个心的任何心形所左右。
So, by generating this great loving kindness and compassion, together you will then continue to be practicing assiduously, overcoming all obstacles, and you'll gradually enter the samadhi of the silent mind. And over here, silent mind is referring to you're no longer be attached or be confused by any manifestation of the mind. So earlier, the earlier stage is referring to not be confused, deluded by any of the external foreign phenomena. And over here, it's referring to, at a deeper level, you will not be attached to any of the inner phenomenon that's manifested by the mind.
好，那这个时候呢，才能够进入什么？一行三昧。那这一行三昧才是实性的开始哈。我们不是有五十二位阶吗？才是实性的开始哈。所以要进入实性位是非常的不容易的哈。那大家看到这边就说，完了，永远不可能的哈。成佛这简直是太不可能 ，mission impossible。
So only by entering this level, then you will then be able to enter single conduct samadhi. And the single conduct samadhi is the beginning stage of one of the 52 stages, the 10 faith, 10 stages of faith. So it's essentially you've only started the beginning stage. And by thinking this way, perhaps some of you may start to feel that, oh, becoming Buddha is literally a mission impossible, that I can never achieve it.
所以这部经的第三部分哈，善安慰说哈，这个就是因为这样，所以大家会怯懦哈。所有修行者一听了啊，天哪，这样怎么弄？这怎么成佛嘛哈？所以呢，这部经的另外一个重点叫做离怯弱法，就是我们下一个 talk 要讲的哈，就是地藏王菩萨他怎么巧演身法，然后让我们这些刚开始求大圣者哈，不会怯懦，然后勇往直前哈。那他就他会跟我们讲，我们什么根性要怎么学，什么根性要怎么学哈，这对我们比较实在哈。那个真如实观，我们就先暂时放下哈。
So by having this this all mapped out, this path all mapped out, many of us probably feels that, well, it's almost impossible. We're so far away from it. Which leads us to another aspect of this chapter, where it's talking about the erstwhat Bodhisattva is actually great at generating, helping people trigger faith and dispel fears and the sense of weakness. So this Bodhisattva can expediently expound the profound Dharma and skillfully guide beginners who have just resolved to seek the great vehicle so that they do not become afraid. So further on into this chapter, erstwhat Bodhisattva will start talking about different methods for people with different kinds of roots. And so for most of us, for the time being, we can set aside the concept of one true reality or contemplation of true suchness those may be a little bit too lofty right now. We can bring to where we are and use some concrete methods explained in this chapter. And so we're going to turn to this part of the chapter in our next talk.
好，那最后哈，虽然我这个地藏三经还没讲完哈，但是我想把这个功德哈回向给蒙赞，蒙赞老和尚啊。
So even though we haven't concluded all our talks of the series related to Restored Bodhisattva, the three sutras, but I would like to dedicate all the merits and virtue generated from these talks to Great Master Meng Zhan.
我们希望他能够还度娑婆，广度众生。
It is our sincere wish that he will be able to return to our world and help further spread the teachings to help alleviate the sufferings of all sentient beings.